This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening, and welcome to the Worldview Report. I'm Brennan House. There's growing concern tonight that the food crisis is about to get much worse. Farmers worldwide are reducing their use of chemical fertilizers. In most cases, this isn't a choice. It's not a choice at all. It's a necessity. Why? Because they either can't afford to buy fertilizer, or they can't get their hands on it, even if they can afford it, which means their crops may deliver significantly lower yields when harvest times across the fall arrive. The ramifications could be catastrophic. Zero Hedge is reporting there are alarming signs that commercial farmers are decreasing their use of essential nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. SLC, Agricola SA, well, that's one of Brazil's largest farming operations, and it revealed last week it is managing fields of soybeans, corn, and cotton in an area larger than the state of Delaware. And they're doing so by reducing the use of fertilizer by 20 to 25%. Coffee farmers in Brazil, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and Costa Rica are expecting to spread less fertilizer because of high costs and shortages. A coffee cooperative representing about 1,200 farmers in Costa Rica predicts coffee output could drop by 15% next year because of skyrocketing fertilizer costs. The International Fertilizer Development Center has warned a reduction in the use of fertilizers would shrink yields of rice and corn come harvest time. Farmers in China, India, Bangladesh, Indonesia, and Vietnam, the largest rice-producing countries, by the way, are spreading less fertilizer as well. And that may result in a 10% reduction in harvest. Well, that translates into about 36 million tons of rice, enough to feed 500 million people. So, all this data leads Zero Hedge to conclude, quote, more fertilizer equals more food production. Less fertilizer equals lower food production. It's a simple concept to understand and may suggest an even larger food crisis is on the horizon, end quote. Sam Faddis has a new article out on his Substack in which he asked the question, where are the stingers and javelins that Joe Biden is sending to Ukraine coming from? The Pentagon hasn't placed an order for Stinger shoulder-fired missiles in 18 years. These missiles are making life miserable for Russian pilots. One might think they're rolling off an assembly line somewhere in the U.S., but that would be a mistaken assumption. The truth is, as Faddis points out, these missiles are coming directly out of the U.S. stockpile. They're coming out of our stockpile of our military. But by sending them to Ukraine, Joe Biden is taking them away from U.S. service members and depleting their ability to defend the country against an attack by a foreign power. Faddis writes, quote, it seems not only have we not built any Stingers in a very long time, but since we are rapidly hollowing out our industrial base and shipping it to China, we actually don't make many of the components that go into a Stinger missile anymore. Asked about how long it might actually take to start producing Stingers and rebuilding our stockpiles of the missiles, Greg Hayes, Raytheon's chief executive, said the company is working to find some of the materials for the missile. But because some components are no longer commercially available, the company will have to redesign electronics in the missile's seeker head. Hayes said it's going to be 2023 to 2024 before orders come in for the larger replenishments, both on Stinger as well as Javelin, which has also been a very successful anti-tank missile that we are also handing out like hotcakes to the Ukrainians, end quote. Bill Gates is excited about the prospects of another lockdown. And the next time an outbreak of virus occurs, He wants a specialized global police force empowered to be able to, quote, stop outbreaks before they become pandemics, end quote. The first 100 days are key, he said, adding, quote, if you get in there, you can actually stop the spread, end quote. He noted Australia's draconian quarantining policies as the model that every country should implement next time. Take a listen.
Now, often in movies, we'll have pandemics, and I'm always impressed with what takes place. Let's look at an example of this rapid response. Well, that's quite impressive. And we don't need the music, but otherwise, we saw exactly what should happen. An outbreak's detected very quickly, literally within days. Doctors are dispatched. They have a helicopter to get into exactly ground zero. They go in there and they've got the right tools. And this is what should happen when an outbreak is spotted. But we don't have that team. We don't have those resources. And if an outbreak took place in a low-income country, it could be literally months before we started to orchestrate those resources. So despite what you see in movies, there is no group of experts standing by to prevent this disaster. So we have to create a new team. I believe we should create what I call the GERM team. GERM stands for Global Epidemic Response and Mobilization. This group is full-time. Their only priority is pandemic prevention. The cost of this team is significant. It's over $1 billion a year. To support the 3,000 people who would be on this team. And its mission is to stop outbreaks before they become pandemics. And so for all of this, the first 100 days are key. Viruses spread exponentially. And so if you get in there when the infection rate is fairly small, you can actually stop the spread. You know, in this epidemic, if we'd been able to stop it within 100 days, we would have saved over 98% of the lives. Now, we did have countries that did a good job. Australia is an example. They orchestrated diagnostic capacity. They came up with distancing policies and quarantine policies. And so their overall death rate per capita will be well less than a tenth of other countries. But we did not, as a world, contain it. And that's what we have to do next time.
These comments were made by Gates at a recent TED Talk. Well, pay close attention, folks. I think another pandemic's coming. In other news, Truth Social is in the sights of the Biden regime's new disinformation governance board. That's according to the man running Donald Trump's social network. The Washington Examiner reports that Devin Nunes, the congressman who left office, become the CEO of the Trump Media and Technology Group, said the government is the most significant threat to freedom of speech now that Twitter is being taken over by Elon Musk and Truth Social and other new platforms are providing open platforms free of censorship. Nunes told Maria Bartiromo of Fox News, quote, I think it's so Orwellian, so dystopian, something you only see in dictatorships, that now they're going to set up some type of disinformation board. I think that's a direct attack on what we are doing at Truth Social, because we can no longer be canceled, end quote. Nina Jankowicz, selected to be the chief of the disinformation governance board within the Department of Homeland Security, is a so-called TikTok star and a known Democrat Party operative who has been criticized for her promotion of Christopher Steele's discredited anti-Trump dossier, while at the same time, she dismissed concerns about Hunter Biden and his laptop. Republicans have criticized the board, comparing it to the Ministry of Truth in George Orwell's book, 1984. Nunes had this to say about Jankowicz, quote, we're going to protect our users from this new phony government disinformation service. And the fact that they would use some D-rated TikTok star that is the queen of disinformation herself on the Russia hoax and the laptop from hell to head it up is really the height of hypocrisy. That's so unbelievable, end quote. The White House has characterized the board as being a continuation of a Trump administration effort, and Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas defended its operations, claiming the board won't monitor U.S. citizens, while touting Jankowicz as, quote, eminently qualified, end quote, a, quote, renowned expert, end quote, and, quote, neutral, end quote. In other news, a large chicken farm in Iowa killed more than 5 million birds after detecting a single case of bird flu. Then, summarily, fired 200 workers who had been assigned the task of slaughtering the hens. That's according to a report from CBS News Money Watch. Rembrandt Farms, where the mass slaughter took place in March, is owned by billionaire Glenn Taylor, one of the wealthiest Iowans and an owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves NBA franchise. Protesters from the animal rights group Direct Action Everywhere reportedly stormed the court at home games wearing t-shirts reading, quote, Glenn Taylor roasts animals alive, end quote. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship in March announced that it had confirmed a case of avian influenza in a, quote, flock of commercial layer chickens, end quote, in Buena Vista County, where Rembrandt Farms is located. The Storm Lake Times detailed the ventilation shutdown plus method by which the birds were killed. The system shuts off barn ventilation, temperatures rise above 104 degrees, and the birds slowly die of suffocation. Zoe Rosenberg, one of the protesters, described the method by which the hens were killed, stating, quote, they were essentially roasted alive. They were cooked from the inside out. Glenn Taylor is a billionaire, yet he chose the cheapest option to kill these birds in a very cruel way, end quote. The culling at Rembrandt comes amid an outbreak of bird flu in the U.S. More than 24 million birds have been killed in the past 2 months in an effort to contain the spread of the bird flu, and what is the biggest outbreak since 2015, when farmers killed more than 50 million chickens and turkeys. All this happening at a time when we're facing a food crisis, folks. Well, in other news, according to a story in the New York Post, the job of Twitter's chief censor, who gets paid $17 million a year to police speech on the platform, their job is in jeopardy. If Elon Musk completes his takeover of the company, one of the first to go might be someone by the last name of Gaudet, who earned $17 million last year as Twitter's chief legal counsel. After disclosing plans to acquire the company earlier this month, Musk expressed no confidence in Twitter's current management, which doesn't bode well for their future once he takes the helm later this year. However, it's not all bad news for Gaudet, the 48-year-old lawyer who repeatedly broke down in tears when breaking the news to Twitter employees about Musk's buyout of the company. She will reportedly get a severance package worth $12.5 million that includes the accelerated vesting of a trove of Twitter shares she has accrued. That's according to the Post report. After 3 months on the job, the Disney executive, who reportedly led the company's opposition to Florida's Parental Rights and Education Act, is looking for a new job, according to the Washington Examiner. Jeff Morrell, Disney's chief corporate affairs officer, reportedly announced his resignation to his colleagues last Friday, writing, quote, after 3 months in this new role, it has become clear to me that for a number of reasons, it is not the right fit, end quote. Morrell allegedly said his decision to, quote, pursue other opportunities, end quote, was made following a discussion of the matter with Disney CEO Bob Chapek. The Western Journal reports that some of Morrell's duties will be assumed by Christina Schenck, Vice President of Global Communications, who was hired in April to help address the parental rights backlash ignited by Disney's propaganda war against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. According to RSBN, quote, Shank brings a distinctively liberal pedigree to the role, having previously served in the Obama administration, Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign, and Joe Biden's administration, end quote. Shank, another Democratic operative working for an American corporate icon, will now seek to do damage control in what has been a disastrous few months for Disney and its woke agenda to corrupt America's youth. Not only did the company recently lose its self-governing privileges in Florida, but according to Breitbart, Disney now holds the distinction of being the worst performing Dow Jones stock of this past year, having plummeted 31% over the last 12 months. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried canceling myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. For a limited time, you can get my brand new product, My Slippers, for 50% off. That's the lowest price ever. And remember, My Slippers come with an exclusive four-layer design. These layers combine to give you amazing comfort and support and help reduce stress on your feet. And with the durable indoor-outdoor sole, you can wear My Slippers anytime, anywhere. I personally guarantee these will be the most comfortable slippers you'll ever own. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to get My Slippers for 50% off, the lowest price in history. And if you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Welcome back. The UK's Office for National Statistics has revealed, without realizing it, that children are up to 52 times more likely to die following COVID-19 vaccination than children who have not had the COVID vaccine. That's according to a report in the Daily Exposé. Back on the 20th of December 2021, the Office for National Statistics published a data set containing details on, quote, deaths by vaccination status in England, end quote. That was between January 1st and October 31st, 2021. What the data set includes is, quote, age standardized mortality rates by age group and vaccination status for all deaths, end quote. However, they have conveniently left out the data for children and only included data on age groups over the age of 18. So reports the expose, adding that on table 9 of the, quote, deaths by vaccination status, end quote, the data set, quote, the ONS, has inadvertently provided enough details on deaths among children and teenagers by vaccination status for us to calculate the mortality rates ourselves. And to put it bluntly, they are horrifying and make it obvious as to why the ONS chose to exclude children from the mortality rates data set, end quote. The math, well, it shows vaccinated children are nearly 52 times more likely to die than non-vaccinated children. Even if the vaccines worked and were safe, the predicate for giving them to people was that we were in an emergency health situation, hence the emergency use authorization for an experimental vaccine. Dr. Peter McCullough, in a recent interview with Newsmax, said there's absolutely no justification based on public health for giving these injections to anyone, let alone children. And yet, Big Pharma is targeting babies and toddlers next for this extremely dangerous shot. Take a look at what Dr. Peter McCullough had to say.
What's this nonsense about six-month-olds needing vaccines? Talk to us. Talk to us. What's this all about?
You know, we know from the registrational trials from Frank, ages 12 to 17, and then Walther, age 5 to 11, that the vaccines make the children more sick with the vaccines than they would with the respiratory illness. CDC told us that in the paper by House and colleagues in MMWR December 31st issue, where there were really serious events in younger kids. I was surprised to see some evidence of heart damage, age 5 to 11. Now extend this down to age 6 months. There's a great concern here. Our CDC has already told us 75% of kids have already had COVID, so it was too late for them to get the vaccine. It's characteristically very mild illness in children. The vaccines make it's a more severe vaccine illness than the respiratory illness. And lastly, we don't have any assurances of long-term safety whatsoever.
An article by Mary Villarreal at Natural News details how the cost of diesel fuel is rising much faster than unleaded gasoline. And why? That's a huge problem for the supply chain. Data from the Department of Energy's Energy Information Administration, or EIA, shows that the price of diesel has jumped a jaw-dropping 43% since the beginning of the year, while the price of gasoline has increased 25% over the same four-month period. Typically, the spread between the price of gasoline and the price of diesel has been about 40 cents on average. But right now, diesel is running over a dollar more than unleaded gasoline. Since diesel is used to transport just about all goods throughout the U.S., this record price hike is potentially devastating if it continues much longer. Energy industry analysts say the current spike in diesel price is historic in the sense that it is pushing up cost of just about everything else in terms of goods. Villarreal points out that nearly everything people buy is at some point shipped in a vehicle powered by a diesel engine, including ships and barges, trains, trucks, and even some airplanes. Freight industry analysts also suspect that the very fragmented and volatile trucking industry will likely experience another severe recession, with others going as far as calling it a bloodbath. Craig Fuller, founder and CEO of Industry Tracking FreightWaves, observed, quote, "We see when fuel surges as much as it has over the past couple of months, that's usually when we see a lot of trucking bankruptcies follow," end quote. Keep in mind, folks, that the vast majority of trucking companies are small businesses running a dozen or fewer trucks. Fuller added, quote, "These small operators that live essentially on the cash flow of their trucking operations are not prepared and don't have the balance sheets or the cash position to absorb these instantaneous shocks to their cash flow," end quote. The trucking industry is already undermanned, dealing with a shortage of about 80,000 truckers nationwide. If trucking companies start to go belly up due to the unaffordable diesel, now the problems with supply chain disruptions become more like a total supply chain breakdown. This is a story, folks, that's getting very, very little media coverage. This is a crisis in the making, and we'll continue to keep our eyes on it here at the Worldview Report. The daughter of the World Economic founder and master globalist Klaus Schwab, well, she's calling for a flip of the script in the crisis du jour offered up by the globalist media cartel. She wants them to pivot from COVID hysteria to climate change hysteria. J.D. Rucker posted an article over the weekend taking a look at the views of Schwab's daughter, Nicole. He writes, quote, "Not only is she deeply embedded in the World Economic Forum and quickly working her way up the food chain, but she also happens to possess her father's penchant for taking full advantage of bad situations to advance her own goals." It's important to realize this is not a recent video. This is from 2020 during the early stages of the pandemic, which demonstrates their evil imaginations are not reactionary, but truly planned, end quote. According to the Counter Signal, Nicole Schwab, the daughter of World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab and current World Economic Founder co-director of the Platform to Accelerate Nature-Based Solutions, wants governments to take advantage of COVID infrastructure and policies to fight climate change. Take a listen to what this globalist has to say.
This crisis has shown us that, first of all, things can shift very rapidly when we put our minds to it and when we feel the immediate emergency to our livelihoods. And second, that clearly the system, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, that we had before is not sustainable. So I see it as a tremendous opportunity to really to have this great reset and to use this huge flows, you know, of money, to use the increased levers that policymakers have today in a way that was not possible before, to create a change that is not incremental, but that we can look back and we can say this is the moment where we really started to position, you know, nature at the core of the economy, taking the point of view of business and the economy and looking at where are there opportunities to create jobs and regenerate nature. And there are plenty of opportunities. And this is, again, a mindset of actually innovation, technology.
Nicole Schwab's comments are the subject of tonight's Worldview Report commentary. Notice she started out by saying, quote, clearly the system, end quote. By system, she means a world in which people are allowed to live free. What she means is the free market system. She believes it's not sustainable. She goes on to say, quote, so I see it as a tremendous opportunity to really have this great reset and to use these huge flows of money to use the increased levers that policymakers have today in a way that was not possible before to create a change that is not incremental, but that we can look back and we can say, this is the moment where we really started to position nature at the core of the economy, end quote. Well, let's be clear. What Nicole Schwab is calling for is full-on authoritarianism implemented under the guise of a crisis, so-called crisis. This is a manufactured crisis, folks. This is classic World Economic Forum propaganda, and it's dangerous. More people must be made aware of the fact that we're being played. We're being played by these globalists. COVID policies had nothing to do with public health, and climate change policies have nothing to do with the climate. It's all a big scam. It's a scam to bypass our U.S. Constitution and the constitutions of every free country in the world in order to trigger global totalitarianism. And we must reject it wholesale. We must expose it. And that's what we do here. That's one of the benefits of the Worldview Report. How many other outlets are doing and saying and reporting what we are? Well, that's it for this edition of the Worldview Report. If you appreciate what we're doing here, we do need your support. Please go to MyPillow.com and use that promo code B66. It's a powerful promo code to save up to 66% on over 110 products. You can also go to WVWTV.com/store, WVWTV.com/store. That's my store. You'll find a lot of resources there. I've also been a distributor of freeze-dried food since 2016. And the freeze-dried food I offer, well, it has a shelf life of 25 years. Check it out if you're interested at wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store. And finally, another way you can support this broadcast and all the work that I do with all the different shows that I host is by going to wvwfoundation.com. If you'd like to support us, you can do that right there. Make a contribution at wvwfoundation.com. If you prefer to send in your support with a check, you'll find our mailing address on the screen and also at wvwfoundation.com. Thank you so much for watching. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. May God save America. Take care.